Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so very glad you have joined us tonight. It is March the 30th, 2001, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. We are so very glad that you have joined us tonight. We pray God's blessing upon you. Hope that you and your family are doing well, that all is going well with you and your home, and that you are taking every precaution to stay safe in these troubling, difficult times in our nation. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where our doors hang on welcome hinges. You're always welcome to come and be a part of the religious experience of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We know that while we're in this pandemic, we're not able to fully come into the house of worship, so we're worshiping virtually. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, you will find all the information concerning First Baptist. You'll find some of the sermons that we have preached. You'll find articles concerning the General Baptist State Convention and the Wake Baptist Association. You'll also find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now each week. And you'll also be able to watch our Sunday morning service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We go Facebook Live. You can go on the Facebook page and you can see our Sunday morning service every Sunday morning. So I invite you to go there. And don't forget to like and share and let your friends know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There are three ways that you can give to the house of God. Of course, you can come by between the hours of 11 and 12. There are trustees there to take care of your financial needs. You can mail your tithes or offering into the church. Go to the Facebook page. You'll find the correct mailing address for that. You can also use our Cash App. We do have a Cash App. That Cash App starts with the dollar sign and the letters FB, CHS, FB as in ball, CHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. We thank God for all of you who have already supported the House of God, those of you who are continuing to support First Baptist. We pray God's blessing upon you, that you will be able to continue to support the House of God as God is supporting you. We want to say happy birthday to Minister Lester. Today is her birthday. We hope that she is enjoying her very special day. Thank God for that. We also want to say hello to some of you I have not seen in a while, particularly Deaconess Inez Lyons, Trustee Thomas Ward, Ms. Sarah Ward, the Searles family, and all of you who have not been able to see or we have not been able to come together probably at least a year now. It's been a year. It's been a year we have been out of the church. So I wanted to say hello to all of you and the names of you who I don't know that I have not written down or have in front of me. Please do not charge it to my heart, charge it to my head. But to all of you whose names I didn't even call, we thank God for you. We pray that everything is going well with you. And we hope that at some point we'll be able to see one another. Of course, we are approaching the Resurrection Sunday. And normally, we would be with our sister churches in the city. We would have our sunrise service together with all the other churches. But because of this pandemic, we're not able to do that again this year. This is the second year that we have not been able to come together for our sunrise service. However, we will be having service Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in to Facebook Live, and you can watch our Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning service. We pray that there will come a time we'll be able to come back together with all of our churches in the city and have a sunrise service. But again, this year, because of this pandemic, we're not able to do so. But we will be having service at First Baptist at 10 a.m. This Sunday for Resurrection Sunday. We are preparing for a soft opening for First Baptist. It is a soft opening. What I mean by that is we're just going to let a few people in. We're still in the midst of a pandemic. We have to be very careful and very cautious at this time before we fully open the doors to the house of worship. But I believe that we have taken every precaution. First Baptist, we are, to a certain extent, we are blessed that we only have a small congregation, and First Baptist is a pretty nice-sized church. So we'll be able to maintain our social distancing and all of the sanitary things that we have to do in order for you to come in. The only thing that we would ask that is if you would come in, be on time. Of course, that is something that we need for you to do because we will be still recording and still going live. And we do not need for folks to come in while the service is going on and you're walking in front of the cameras or whatever, coming in late. So we do ask that if you're going to be a part of the services, if you'd like to come, that's only second Sunday, that you do come at 10 o'clock, that you be there before we start. We don't want to interrupt the service once we begin. But we're starting a soft opening on the second Sunday, and perhaps we'll see where we can go from there. And for maybe in another month or two, we may be able to do a full opening. We'll be able to come back together as we were before. But this, again, as I said before, we had a discussion several weeks ago during our Bible study. We had a topical discussion about the coronavirus. And as I said before, I say again, it is a personal decision. Now, this is something you have to talk about with your family and think about for yourself. Certainly, we are still in the midst of this pandemic. And we know that even though the vaccine is out, it is still a very dangerous time. We also know that the vaccine is good measure, but we also know that the vaccine cannot stop you from getting the coronavirus. But what it does do prevents you from having a serious bout and perhaps dying from that virus. The coronavirus is something that's going to be around for a long time. It's not going to disappear. Like other diseases, the coronavirus is going to be around for a while. There are some people who are still dying from measles. Think about that, how long that has been. So these diseases really don't disappear. What we do is we get inoculated or vaccines to prevent us from getting those diseases. And if we get those diseases, it will not take you out. And this is what the coronavirus vaccine is about. It's not a cure. And you can still get the coronavirus. But the vaccine builds the antibodies in your body so that if you should get the coronavirus, it will not kill you. It will not make you have to go into the hospital for an extended time. So that's what the vaccine is all about. So we do know that because the vaccine is out, many of us have already taken the vaccine, that perhaps maybe we can do a soft opening in the church. So hopefully, second Sunday in this month, in the month of April, we will try a soft opening. Again, this is a conversation you must have with your family and have with yourself as to whether or not this is something that you would like to do. If you do not come, we certainly can't understand that. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are listening on the air, those who are listening over the internet. We pray, God, that something be said tonight as we go into our lesson that will inspire us to keep on giving you the praise, Lord, and knowing what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross. Pray, God, that we be made worthy of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our subject tonight is called the Messianic Priest King. The Messianic Priest King. We're coming from three different scriptures, Jeremiah 23, 5 through 7. That's Jeremiah 23, 5 through 7. Zechariah 6, 9 through 14. That's Zechariah 6, 9 through 14. And John 19, 1 through 3. John 19, 1 through 3. So the first scripture is Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Second scripture is Zechariah 6, 9 through 14. And the third scripture is John 19, 1 through 3. I'm going to pause for a second that you can find those scriptures. The Messianic Priest King. For some background, Pilate was the sixth Roman prosecutor of Judea and Samaria. He held office for 12 years, and by the end of that time, because of his insensitivity to Jewish religious concerns and his thirst for power, he was hated by both Jews and Samaritans. He was recalled by Tiberius and banished to Vienna, where he committed suicide. This crowd, this is the Jewish crowd that decided Jesus was a blasphemer and worthy of death. A few days before, a similar crowd had followed him through the streets and adorned him with praise as they welcomed him as their Messiah. The Jewish people looked forward to a coming Messiah who would bring their nation back to its former glory. This was supposed by prophecies from the Old Testament dating back to the book of Genesis. Many of these prophecies describe a coming religious king who will rule justly and fairly. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 and Zechariah 6 and 9 are two prophecies that describe the coming Messiah as a king who will right the wrongs of Israel and restore the nation to its former glory. This Messiah would come from the line of David, and he would not only be a king, but also a priest. This was unprecedented. A first glimpse, Jesus did not fit the description of any of these prophecies. He was lowly, and he was rejected. He suffered humiliation, though being flogged with 39 lashes. Unfortunately, he was led to his death by crucifixion. The soldiers of Pilate capitalized on this, and they began to mock Jesus. They gave him a crown of thorns and a purple robe. After they slapped him in the face multiple times and spat upon him, they shouted, "Hail, King of the Jews," as a bitter way to humiliate him. Although these were acts of humiliation and suffering, they also brought him further to the destiny of the Messiah. The coming Messiah was a king, but he was also described as a branch, which symbolized lowliness and humility. He was also supposed to be a priest and a king. And through his death on the cross, he became a priest for us by offering up his own body as a final and ultimate sacrifice. The messianic king prince, or the king priest, is humble and lowly. As the messianic priest king, Jesus is humble and lowly, are unusual attributes for a king. It is also unusual for a king to be scorned. This traditional Roman scorning consisted of being beaten with a whip. This whip had multiple leather thongs with metal balls or sheep bone tied on the end. This type of practice was used to beat the victim as a form of punishment. To extract a confession or to weaken him before crucifixion in order for him to die more quickly. After the scourging, soldiers were experienced or told to taunt the victim. And the soldiers who beat Jesus were no exception. They put a crown of thorns and a purple robe on him as to mock him and to mock in garments. They slapped him in the face to show that he was not a king and deserved no respect from them. Jesus endured this humiliation in order to be the messianic priest king, the branch who was foretold by Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Isaiah. The messianic priest king is righteous in his suffering. After undergoing humiliation and suffering, Jesus was brought back to Pilate. Pilate stood Jesus before the crowd and said that he could not find no fault in him. This shows how righteous Jesus was in his acting during his suffering. He suffered unfairly and was innocent of any charges. No one could bring anything against him. Pilate had no basis for accusing him under Roman law. His crimes were being himself, the Lord, only righteous king himself, Jesus. Righteous is very crucial to him being a priest king. In order to perform the duty of giving the sacrifice, his life for the whole world once and for all, Jesus had to be spotless and blameless. He was an innocent man who was about to die on the cross. It seemed unfair, but this is the road that he had to take as a messianic priest king. And so we go to our first part of our scripture here in that book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23:5-6. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Verse 6. In these days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell freely. And this will be, will be in his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteous. The late Charles Feinberg affirms the messianic message. The formula, days are coming in a messianic formula. He wrote the fact that most scholars agree with this, and also that the Messiah would come from David's royal line and would reign forever. This is 2 Samuel 7:8-16. Another scholar writes, these verses contributed to the developing messianistic belief in Israel. Notice the similarities of all the following Hebrew words: the righteous branch in Isaiah, the king's name, which means the Lord our righteous, and meaning justice, justness, and righteousness. King Zedekiah's name, which also means Jehovah is righteous or just or Jehovah. One scholar observed that in the Hebrew, the word means a play on the name of Zedekiah, a puppet king whom a Babylonian put on the throne. By comparison, this king would be a righteous king, and the branch would be coming from Jesse's line. Also in contrast, the new messianic king would rule rightly or justly. He would be wise, and he would bring justice and righteousness in his messages. Paul applied the same term to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:30. In that book of Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, the 6th chapter of Zechariah, in verse 9, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, and of Tobijah, and Jedidiah, which have come from Babylon, and come through the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, and the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This symbolic crowning ceremony of Joshua, the high priest, comes after Zechariah's famous series of 8 visions. In vision 4, chapter 3 and 5, he refers to a high priest and a ruler. This special type of crown in Hebrew literally means an ornate crown of sparkle jewels and diamonds. In the book of Revelation 19:12, scholars agree that Joseph, whose name means Jehovah is salvation, was similar to Jesus, whose name means Jesus the Lord saves. In Matthew 1:21, Jesus is the true branch and the Messiah. And here he is symbolically and prophetically this prototype, Joshua being crowned both priest and king. So it was not unheard of for one person to be crowned both. That was in the Old Testament. So let's see what it will say about the New Testament. But let's first finish what see what Zechariah has to say. In the 12th verse of Zechariah, we read, and speak unto them, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, talking about Jesus, and he will grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Verse 14, And the crowns shall be to Helam, and to Tobiah, and to Jedidiah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. In Zechariah's vision, Joshua was priest, while Zerubbabel ruled and built the temple. Here the branch will be both priest and ruler, and he will build the temple. In chapter 4 and 14, Joshua and Zerubbabel represent separate offices. Here the branch was to be held by one person instead of two. A key part of our lesson involves the word, behold the man whose name is the branch. For it says in the scripture, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. This is a very important part because it tells the story of who Jesus will be. This is unmistakably similar to the language in the next section. Behold the man that Joshua talks about, or that later on John will talk about. Since Zerubbabel would complete the restoration of the temple, an overly literal interpretation does not work. According to the writers, it is difficult to see how this could refer to that temple. It might have a view of a new temple of the Messianic age. Not only will the branch, the Messiah, build the Messianic temple, but also as priest and king, he will sit on the throne of David and rule with justice and righteousness. Fernbaker quotes Baldwin as saying, nowhere else in the Old Testament is it made so plain that the coming king will also be a priest. All of these prophecies refer to a future reality, the true temple in which God will abide in the midst of his people for all time, and the words are in the hearts and the minds. Let's see what John has to say about this. In John, the 19th chapter, look at verse 1. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Excuse me. The purple here was actually a dark red or scarlet, which preferably refers to the closest these soldiers could find for mocking royal purple robe. Their mocking reference for Jesus would have been taken as a takeoff of their sincere address of the emperor. Hail Caesar is what they would say when Caesar would appear. So instead of a kiss to let them know of his nobility, they delivered a cruel slap on the face as being their way of showing him that he deserved no respect whatsoever. That's why the Bible said they planted thorns to place on his head, and then they found a purple robe to put around him, and then they made a sign that said, hail, King of the Jews. This was all done to mock him, but unknowingly, they were speaking the truth about Jesus, because he would be the king. He would end up being the king and the priest for his people. In verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, behold the man. When we look at this scripture and we capture the visions in our mind, there is something here that we must understand. This particular scripture, when it says that Pilate therefore went forth again, saying unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. The interesting word is Pilate therefore brings him forth again. In other words, he was tried by Pilate twice. And the first time he was they were told that they couldn't find any fault with him. So they brought him back again. And again, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Jesus the man, along with his other titles, is also a theological affirmation that Jesus was indeed the man, the second Adam, God's son, who dealt with the sins of the world introduced through the first Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, it reads, indeed, behold the man who was the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. Behold the man who was God's plan for mankind. Behold the man who was the face and heart of God. Behold the man humble, broken, bleeding, dying. Behold the man resurrected, triumphant, the eternal King of Kings. Israel had long been aware of these prophets and the predictions of the Messiah, but they envisioned a conquering king who would deliver them from the oppressive Roman rule. When Jesus came instead as a suffering servant, the Jewish leaders could not reconcile such a humble man with the grand military victory and liberation that they had long entertained in their minds. And not only that, that when he came into the city that day, he did not look like they would expect him to look. He did not act like they expected him to act. He did not have the same hue or the same color as they expected them to have. And because he did not look the part, they would not accept him. They had not examined the scriptures closely enough to realize that the prophesied kingdom and the new covenant would not be of this world, but of the next. This should give us pause when we envision God's answering our prayers one way, only to discover that the reality does not match our imagination. We should consider that perhaps God actually has answered our prayers, but in ways we have not considered. Sometimes, in fact, in ways opposite to what we think we want. Sometimes we ask God for things that we don't need, and sometimes God will give it to us in ways that we don't understand. And so we must be aware that while we are doing this, great suffering went on through this concept. Not only that, the Messianic priest-king will be vindicated. The soldiers mocked Jesus and taunted him by calling him the King of the Jews. Yet there was truth in their title. Jesus could endure the suffering and humiliation because he knew the final outcome. He could and would fulfill the prophecy about him as the Messianic priest-king who would deliver Israel. The purple robe and the crown of thorns were just prosecutors or procrastinators or things to invoke anger upon those and upon those who watched him. They were done to mock him, to bring him down. Jesus would be king who would execute justice and righteousness. He was beaten and slapped in the face by Gentile Roman soldiers, but since that day, he would be worshipped by Gentiles who wrote far off from the people of God. The suffering and the mistreatment Jesus endured would offset with the promise that he would be king. It is important for us to understand as we approach this Resurrection Sunday that they looked for Jesus for many, many years. The Israelitic people looked for him. They heard the promise that God made long ago that one would come that would redeem man back to him. They passed it on from generation to generation. They studied from generation to generation about this Messiah, how this Messiah would come. In the book of Isaiah, it's complete detail of the birth of Jesus, even before he came. After he came, they did not accept him. They did not accept him because he was not of a royal lineage. They did not accept him because he did not come from a high estate, but he was lowly and disrespected. The son of a carpenter, one whom they knew, one whom they had no respect for. Beloved, we got to be careful how we treat one another. Well, you may be entertaining angels unaware. There may be people that God placed in your life for a purpose and for a reason. And if we reject them, if we reject the help We reject their person. We reject their ability and their claim to exist. Then many times we miss out on the blessing that God has for us through these people. So we must keep our minds open and keep our hearts open, knowing that God is making a way out of no way. I want to go back and I want to talk about just for a few minutes, and I'm going to open the lines and let those who are listening talk. If you are listening, if you'd like to listen, if you're listening over the internet, we thank God for that. If you'd like to call in, our call-in number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call in. You can participate in the Bible study. And you can also ask questions, or you can to the discussion. But one of the things that I want to go back and cover is the fact that these Jewish people who looked forward to a coming Messiah, when he came in on Monday, these were the same people the Bible said that cut olive branches and palm branches and laid them on the ground. They took off their cloaks and their coats and laid that on the ground. It was a grand entrance. People were shouting Hosanna to the highest. People were full of excitement because Jesus was in town. But in just a few days, the same crowd would be hollering and telling others to crucify him, to crucify him. Beloved, there does seem that the love of the righteous can wax cold. If you have never experienced hate or hurt, come to the church. You will find hurt that you've never experienced before. It seems that at the hands of the righteous, you will receive the most cruel treatment. And this is where it was with Jesus. This is where it is with us today. Not only that, but then the Bible says that in that verse and back in the book of Zechariah, in that 14th verse, then and the crown shall be to Helam and to Tobijah and to Jedidiah and to him, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. All these men that I called out were great men. These were men who were supposedly priests in the temple. These were men who were called out, just like great kings were called out, great priests were called out. But that job had always been by two different men. There was always a priest and always a king. It was only in Zechariah that we even hear the mention of coming together. This was totally unprecedented for one man to hold both offices. And even though Jesus never held those offices on a literal sense, he held those offices on a spiritual sense because he was the king and he was a priest. And he took, and what I mean by that is he took on those personas during his ministry. He took on those personas and all of his teachings and all of his healings and all of his acts. And the combination of all of that took place on Calvary when he gave the ultimate sacrifice that only a priest could do, the ultimate sacrifice, and that was to lay down his life for the cause of the Lord. And so it is. And so it is. As we approach this Resurrection Sunday, let us keep in mind that a great sacrifice was made. And not only that, it was a great cover-up as well. There was a sham trial and a cover-up and then an execution. All of this was done to silence a man and to silence the work that this man is doing. Now, you've got to know that if Jesus was not making an impact, none of this would have happened. If Jesus was somebody just preaching out in the wilderness or somewhere, that would have never happened. But because Jesus was teaching truth and was teaching knowledge and teaching righteousness and telling people that salvation was free, because he was using examples to teach people and because he had this uprightness in him, this made him a target for those who did not want that type of society. And because of that, he was put to death. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to talk. Only have a few people on tonight, but you may want to say something. I do have one or two questions that I want to ask. Now, you're not obligated, as I always say, you're never obligated to say anything. You can just simply say, I'm listening, and that'll be fine with us. We don't obligate you to speak. You can speak if you'd like. If you know, if you just say, I'm listening, that'll be fine. Let's go to the lines. 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line tonight?
Yes, Ms. Mangum.
How are you tonight?
Okay, how about y'all?
Doing great. Doing fantastic. Doing great. What do you think about the lesson?
That was a good lesson, Reverend Rogers. Then one of the things I want to say here about those Jewish leaders, you know, they were just insisted, you know, that they had a law, you know, and according to their law, you know, that he must, you know, that they must crucify him, you know. He must die.
That's right.
And the reason why they want to do that, because he was claiming to be the Son of God.
That's right.
And so they didn't like that. And for his power, you know, Pilate has said, so you take him and crucify him. But he said within, as for himself, that he didn't find no fault for them to charge those charges against him. So he didn't want, he wanted to wash his hands of it.
Amen.
He had nothing to do with that.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. 919-5257, are you on the line?
Yes, Brother John. Pastor, how are you tonight?
Doing great. How are you, Brother John?
I'm just fine. It's a good lesson. It's about baptism, and we all should get baptism, should be baptized. but I got a question.
Go right ahead.
We all grew up knowing that everybody should get baptized. Is there a way to get salvation without being baptized?
Now, I have to speak basically
When I say baptized, I'm talking about baptized according to water. I say that because when Jesus was up on the cross, and the criminal asked him, said, Lord, save me. And he received salvation from Jesus while he was on the cross.
Exactly, exactly. Jesus had the authority and the power to do that. Now, I can only speak from a Baptist preacher standpoint. We believe that submersion through water is a part of the characteristics of a true Christian. That's what we believe. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, some religions don't do that. Some religions may sprinkle you. Some religions may not do anything whatsoever, especially these new churches. They don't baptize or anything. But we believe as Baptists that because Jesus was baptized, we believe that if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us as well. We believe that the submersion in the water is part of the transient that we take when we move from one life to the other life. When we go into the water, one man, we come out of the water a new man. Exactly. And that is what we believe as Baptists. Now, like I said, again, there are those who have other methods, and then again, there are some who don't baptize at all. But as a Baptist preacher, I would say that baptism is the way to go for everyone. I have no
idea. Right, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just asked a question. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Let me ask you a question as well. One of the things that we pointed out in the scriptures that the Jewish leaders were really not familiar with the scriptures at all. They were, if they had, they would have known a lot of things that would have gone on before. Why do you think they were religious leaders if they weren't familiar with scripture?
For the same reason we got leaders today that are not versed in biblical scripture. They have power, they have influence, and lots of times they have wealth. So I think that kind of shadows their interest or belief in biblical scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because of who they are, what they have, and the people they're around. You know, if you're around a lot of people that don't believe in biblical scriptures or baptism, then you have a tendency to be like the people that you're around. Old people, you say, lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas pretty soon.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 910-5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
Doing great. Is that preacher at home?
Hello?
Yes, is that Reverend at home? Can you hear me?
No.
Okay, all right. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the lesson?
No, I sure don't. When you say priest and king, I was sort of wondering about that, and then you saying it was not strange that they would be called priest and king at the same time.
No, I would say that those two jobs were held by two different people all the time. But when Jesus came, he held both of those positions by himself. In times past, okay, there was always a king, and then there was always a priest. The king took care of mm-hmm. the governmental things, and the priest took care of the temple. But what I'm saying tonight is that when Jesus comes, he comes as priest and king. And even though he never had those titles officially, those were the acts that he took. His ministry and his life took on those characteristics of priest and king, and it was even foretold that he would do so, that one would do so way back in the book of Jeremiah. And even though they may not have understood it at that time, Jeremiah spoke about it. Zechariah spoke about it, but they didn't really see mm-hmm. it until we get to John, where John describes him as being the both, as being both. Anything else you'd like to add?
No.
All right. I want to go back to Ms. Mangum. Ms. Mangum, there's one of the things that that I talked about is the fact that the Messianic priest-king is humble and lowly. Do you think that because of his station in life, because sometimes we discount people because of what they look like and where they come from, you think that had anything to do with it as well?
Well, I'm not sure about that. It may have.
Well, you got to remember, this is a kid who they say mother got pregnant by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You know, so don't you think that they may have, that have may have had some type of, because, you know, we have this thing about if the queen comes into the room, everybody stands up, you know. If mm-hmm. somebody who we recognize as someone who's being just as important to us, nobody stands up. What I'm saying is, why is it that Jesus was so rejected, even though they knew to look for him, even though the prophet spoke about him coming, and he was there in person, because of his station in life, they did not see what they wanted to see. Can you talk about what people want to see in Jesus?
Can't, when we, you say that, I know you talked to Ms. Mangum, but when you
say,
sometimes whenever we look at Martin Luther King and he was just an ordinary guy, here we are, we're talking about these Jewish leaders, and these are big-time people, and in order to believe in Jesus Christ and the baptism, you had to turn your total reliance on to Jesus, and you had to put all your trust in him. Now, if you are just an ordinary guy walking up and down the streets, you don't have on fancy clothes or anything like that, maybe that's why the Jewish leaders did not feel like they necessarily had to put that trust and reliance on this Jewish leader, because he didn't really look like a Jewish leader.
Right. Right. Okay. He wasn't what they expected. And I think today a lot of people are finding that Jesus is not what they expect. They want Jesus to be a celestial Santa Claus.
Right.
You know, whenever
I ask
for
whatever something, they want him to be. Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And this is the same reason that they hollered crucify him, because they didn't see in him what they wanted to see in him. You know, they wanted someone who would come in with a big army, who had a shouty horse. He came in on a donkey instead of a horse. You know, so that's lowly right there. Only farmers rode a donkey. You know, if you were a soldier, you rode a horse. You didn't ride no donkey. You know, donkeys were for women to carry water with, you know. And here he comes riding in on a donkey. And they didn't like that. They didn't like what they saw in him. And many times, again, like I say before, many of us have a concept of Jesus as being some type of celestial Santa Claus. We just want to be able to ask him for stuff, and he drop it in our lap. But then there was something in the lesson that I talked about, that sometimes God blesses us in ways that we don't recognize. Miss Megan, can you speak on that? Sometimes God blesses us in ways we don't recognize.
Blesses in ways we don't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that one, Reverend Rogers.
Deaconess Rayner, you got something.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Deaconess Rayner. I'm going to say, Pastor, sometimes we are blessed and we don't really know it. Sometimes good things happen to us and we don't know why. Sometimes good things happen to us at church and we don't know why. And it's just a lot of things happen to us sometimes we can't explain. This because
right.
our trust and faith in Jesus Christ that these things happen to us.
Exactly.
I mean, we are all senior citizens, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
and we're living a good life. And we didn't do it by ourselves. It's our faith and trust in God that got us to where we are today. And it is letting him lead us by example. And on the contrary, a lot of people don't get this far in life because they never had a Jesus Christ in their life to put their faith and trust in, and a symbolic leader that kept them on the straight and narrow path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Deaconess Rayner, did you have something you want to add? Go ahead, Ms. Megan, go ahead.
No, I want to ask you again. The question was, you said sometimes Jesus blessed us in ways we don't recognize.
That's right, uh-huh.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I had the question right so
mm-hmm.
I can do some.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Deacon Rainey.
Yes, I was going to say that sometimes God holds back some things from us, and we think it's not good, but it's really a blessing that we don't recognize, because if he would have gave it to us, it would have been we would have been premature in it, or we wouldn't have known how to handle it, something like
right.
that. And really, that's really a blessing that we don't recognize, because we really
mm-hmm.
wouldn't know
mm-hmm.
what to do with it, or, you know, something like that.
Amen. Amen. There have been many stories that any of us can tell about how we were about to do something, and for some reason, something happened to change our minds. And before we knew it, that thing that we were going to do turned out to be a horrible thing. I remember back in high school, there was a big party, and of course kids were drinking back in high school. It was back in the 70s, and I was asked to go to a party. Come and go with us to the party. A car full of people. Come and go with us to the party. I said, no, no. If I go, I'll go on my own, or if I might not, I might just go home. But anyway, I did want to go. I almost got in that car because I wanted to go. And then later on, we heard that they had a terrible accident. And I think that God blessed me not to go there, not to, like you said, Nicholas Randy, sometimes God can hold stuff back from us, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. And we don't see that as a blessing sometimes. Sometimes we think we're lucky or something like that. But sometimes God can bless us in ways that we don't even recognize. Sometimes God can give you things that you don't even know that you need. And he can take away some things that you later find out that you didn't need in the first place. So there are times that God can bless us in ways that we are not aware of. And I think that one of the things is, Brother Jonah brought out, one of the things that we have to do is just get closer to him so that we will know when those times come and we won't ignore the signs that he gives us and the understanding that he gives us, and that we will be able to receive that blessing and know that it's a blessing regardless of what it is. Even if we're disappointed, it's still a blessing because God has something better for us in the end. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Well, I'd just like to say, Pastor, that this very same thing you're talking about, that party. I didn't go to a party, but when I was in college, my first year, I came home in the summer, and I bought my first car. It was a 1956 built two-door hardtop, and I was all over the place. But then I had to go back to school, and right before I left to go to school, a lady pulled out in front of me, and I total lost it. And I always figured that that was God's working in my life, because if I had kept that car, I don't know where I would have been if I had gone back to college with that car, because mm-hmm. I was already wild enough before I got it. So I think today, as I look back, I think that was really God's helping hand. And Ralph, you don't need that car. I'm going to tear it up for you so you can't go back to college with that car.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It can happen. It can happen. And we got to know that that's God's blessing. That's a blessing. It might not be the blessing that we want, but it's a blessing. And thank God for that. Anybody else have anything you'd like to add? Well, we thank God for you tonight. I pray God's blessing upon you. Thank you so very much for tuning in. We only have about 5 people on the line tonight. I don't know where everybody is tonight. Maybe people forgot about Tuesday night. People are still trying to get stuff together. But if you would spread the word that every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. we are having Bible study at First Baptist. Thank God for you. We pray that you'll have a good week. We will see you sunrise Sunday at 10 a.m. at First Baptist. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who have been on the line, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's over. We pray, God, for your blessing upon the house of worship. As we go into this Resurrection Sunday, Father, make us bear witness to your glory and to your praise and to your honor. We thank you for the great sacrifice that you made so long ago on Calvary's Hill, the suffering and the shedding of your blood, O Lord. We thank you now, God, that you allowed yourself to become the human sacrifice and that you took upon the sins of the world. Now, God, make us worthy of that great sacrifice that you have made, that we will shine a beacon on the hill that will call everyone to come unto you and crying, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Good night.
All right.
Amen.
Y'all have a good night. Amen. We'll talk
amen.
To you
amen.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Been to Paris in the spring or the fall. I never been to India. No. Yeah, see the Taj Mahal alone. I never been to Switzerland. No. Yeah. See the winter games play. Oh, never been to New Orleans on Carnival of Mardi Gras Day. Never been to London. On a foggy day, you're going to live plain. All I want to do is make it to heaven. That's all I want. That's all I want. I declare that will be good enough for me. Because heaven is a place where I want to be. Hey, band. In the spring or the fall. Never been to India. See the Taj Mahal furlong down. Never been to Switzerland, no. See the winter games play. I declare that will be good enough for me. I've become a heaven. Heaven is a place where I want to be. Talking about heaven, where the streets are made of gold. A weary soul. Heaven, I'm gonna sit down in the crystal seat one day. Woo-hoo!